RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Good morning, Joe. We've got plenty of ground to cover this morning.
We certainly have. Good morning, Warren. I'm sure many of our listeners would have already caught up with the news overnight of the win of Enable in the King George. What a stunning performance it was by the six-year-old mare. Whilst only a field of three, she absolutely blitzed her high-class rivals to win the race for the third time. No horse in history has been able to do that. There have been several two-time winners of the King George, Dahlia and Swain. So she's on her own now in that part of international racing history. The question now is, can she go on to win a third arc? So there's much debate about that and a few underestimating her performance overnight in the King George, given the nature of the field. What were your thoughts, Warren?
I thought, well, as you referenced, the small field, Joe, but she's such a dominant and just unique quality animal, and memories of Frankie Dettori aboard Stradivarius, the number of sustained looks he had over his shoulder prior to actually letting her run down. And look, I don't have a handle on the form heading towards the arc as a lot of international experts do. But as with Winx, when she was at the peak of her powers, you just have the confidence that she'd be very hard to beat wherever she went.
Enable's record now stands at 12 wins from 15 starts. But interestingly, Warren, she is up against it history-wise in the arc. No horse at the age of six has won it since 1932. But she proved overnight that she's back at this preparation, big and strong. And that was what her trainer, John Gosden, alluded to after her last start performance whilst in defeat. It was a very gallant effort. She's a wonderful race mare, isn't she? And there was a fantastic commentary for those that haven't seen any of the replays yet from overnight. Of Royston Murphy on the World Horse Racing site, he commentates right throughout the duration of the three-horse race. And at the end, I think he summed it up better than anyone. He basically said, Warren, there you have seen one of the best horses on planet Earth. We need to treasure moments like that. Well, I certainly did. I'm sure you did too, Warren.
Yeah, it was outstanding, and it's great to see from afar, and we're lucky that those races, albeit in restricted form also, with crowds and the like around the world, are going ahead, and the history can continue, and Enable creating that history with the third win in that race overnight. Closer to home, Joe, there's a lot of activity with sales, etc., and obviously being impacted by COVID, but the Magic Millions are able to kick off their national sale tomorrow.
They have, Warren, albeit with a 1 week or so delay, and the Managing Director of Magic Millions, Barry Bowditch, is our first guest on this Talking Horses segment this morning. How are you, Barry?
Yeah, good morning. Great, thank you. We're here this morning at the Gold Coast. It's We're looking forward to finally getting the sale underway tomorrow.
It has been absolutely bucketing down on the Gold Coast over the weekend. How has that impacted on inspection?
Yeah, it definitely has. Obviously, we've been fortunate enough that the sale has had such a long lead in that a lot of our clients have got around the farms in the last 6 weeks and done a lot of their inspections prior to getting here. So, look, most people are kind of set and ready to go, but it'll be nice to get a bit of sunlight as the day goes on today and get a few more inspections done. But we aren't starting till 2 p.m. tomorrow, so that'll help us with the morning. It's expected to be nice and sunny tomorrow.
Yes, the sale finally kicks off tomorrow after a delay due to COVID-19.
That's right, yeah. Well, given the Premier's announcement regarding hotspots in New South Wales, we elected to give everyone the best opportunity to be here. A week's delay would enable them to do so, and it's worked out in our favour thus far.
There's been so much anticipation around this sale this year, particularly that of the broodmares or potential broodmares. So what a lineup of females you have entered in the sale. These are some of the names: Sunlight, Invincibella, Unforgotten, and Vidora.
That's right. You know, it's exciting to have these mares, or three of them, go through tomorrow, all unreserved, actually. So anyone in the market at these high levels can bid with confidence on these mares, being Unforgotten, Vidora, not Vidora, Sunlight, and Invincibella tomorrow. So we're looking forward to. I think Sunlight's just a standout in the catalogue. She's probably arguably the best mare that's ever gone to auction off the track in Australia. So it's exciting times, and the world is watching, and we're getting great interest from all over the place in her and other mares in the sale.
An interesting time for her to be going through the sales ring for obvious reasons. Do you see that potentially negatively impacting on the price she might fetch?
Look, there's definitely people that, you know, from that cannot be here, and people that would potentially be in the market for a mare like that if they were able to be here. So engaging with them and trying to get them on these sort of horses when they're on the other side of the world isn't easy in these times. But so, yeah, potentially it could have an effect on her. But, look, you know, the market out there knows how good she was, and she's here for sale, and hopefully a pandemic doesn't stop her making what reality says she should make.
Exactly right. So the bloodstock world is full of very astute, sharp people. I don't think the good judges will want to be missing out on her.
No, exactly right. But it's not all about her or the other three great mares. It's a catalogue full of opportunity. We've been very fortunate here in Australia that racing's gone on, the sales have gone on, the wheels kept turning, and, you know, there's just great opportunity through the market at all ends for people to get involved. And obviously we've done our best to ensure that the buyers of the market cannot be there can get all the information off our website, whether it be photos, videos, your breeding certificates. The lot are there for you to look at. So we're giving everyone the opportunity to register and bid online and take part in the sale from wherever they may be tomorrow and over the next week and a half.
So day one of the National Broodmare Sale tomorrow, a lineup of 163 race fillies and maiden mares.
That's right. So we start with them 2 p.m. tomorrow. You know, Invincibella's in lot 12, and it should kick off from there, obviously. Then we have 2 days of broodmares in foal, going Tuesday, Wednesday, and then onto the weanlings Thursday, Friday, which are all here on the ground at the moment as well, which another 330 of them catalogued, which is great. And next week, we sell the yearlings Monday, Tuesday, with ending the sale with the Godolphin Racehorse.
Okay, and lots of other options as well, including the National Racehorse Sale. And interestingly, this week too, horses through the estate of the late Eduardo Cuenco will be sold.
That's right. We've got a good lineup of mares, race fillies, yearlings, and obviously race horses to sell for them over the next 9 days, which, you know, it's a way to move a few bit of stock off their hands with the estate. So we're excited to have those horses in the catalogue.
Okay. I'm sure many have been speculating, and certainly you as the auction house, that Sunlight, any ballpark figure on what this mare could possibly make?
Look, you know, if you had asked me pre-pandemic, I would have said she'd break any record we have, but we're hopeful that she'll make in excess of $3 million. But it's a hard one to put a number on. And as I said, she's here for sale, so, you know, all those guys at the top end, if they bid, they're in play to buy.
Soon enough, we'll find out. Thanks for joining us, Barry. Good luck.
Good on you guys. Thank you.
Warren, have you got a spare $3 million there for Sunlight?
Look, I'll probably have to pass on that, Joe, but be interested to see what she does go through the ring for. But obviously her race day record and pedigree would indicate that she's going to go pretty high. But, you know, I would think that would be at the top end. But like racehorse owners, I suppose auction houses are entitled to dream too.
And naturally, Barry sounds pretty buoyant about the upcoming sale. It will be interesting to see what happens.
It will, and I suppose we've had this discussion on a number of occasions, Joe, where at the top end, like with most valuable assets like real estate, etc., I suppose the people that are cashed up are able to look at the long term and think that could be a smart investment. But, you know, there's other segments of the market, I suppose, that are going to be more impacted by the COVID situation.
No doubt. And one interesting topic of conversation that we thought we'd touch on this morning, Warren, in relation to horse sales, certainly, but is the movement of horses through the air during the COVID-19 pandemic over the past couple of months. And we've got one of the owners of Equine International Air Freight joining us this morning to discuss this issue, which is most interesting. And that's Cameron Croucher. Good morning, Cameron.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Interesting times for everybody in the world at the moment, but particularly in the horse world. Has the international movement of horses been affected by the pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. It's a pretty difficult time. Cargo planes are still flying and they're still moving around and horses can still travel, but the big challenge is the movement of people, the professional flying grooms that accompany them on the flights. There's different rules for different jurisdictions in different countries, and having to jump through all those hurdles makes things pretty difficult. And in some cases, countries won't allow flying grooms to land, and therefore horses aren't able to travel on the planes without, these professionals that look after them.
Okay. And with a sale like the Magic Millions coming up this week, horse movement is all important. There will be international buyers looking to purchase horses out of this sale.
Yeah, definitely. We were lucky enough to get a plane load of horses into the Magic Millions last Friday. We had a bunch of yearlings and broodmares come over from New Zealand and we flew them into Brisbane and they've all settled into the Magic Millions complex ready for the sale. As far as international buyers go, we don't really know how many are going to attend. I guess some of them will have representatives on the ground bidding and buying for them, or we hope so, and we'll be available to organise air freight back to their destinations. So how many horses we move out of Magic Millions this year, I can't even put a number on it, I don't know, but this national sale is normally a very popular sale for international buyers, and we normally do move a lot of horses from that sale.
Has the cost of movement of horses changed much during the COVID situation?
Yes, it has. In different airlines have reviewed their pricing and made changes to their pricing. One of the problems is because there's a lack of passenger planes at the moment, and I'm not sure if people realise, but when you're on a passenger plane and underneath the belly of the aircraft, your bags go, but there's also a lot of freight that's moved in that section of the aircraft. And because there's a lack of passenger planes, those freight items are all being moved to the cargo planes. So some of the airlines are operating at absolute 100% capacity. They're often getting higher paying or higher yielding freight. And so when we're ringing airlines to book space to move horses, the price fluctuations are quite dramatic in some instances. And it's changing. It's changing almost weekly with airlines at the moment.
Okay. And where else are you moving horses to at the moment then?
Yeah, look, over the last month, we've moved horses to Japan and Macau into New Zealand. We've had horses come back to Australia from New Zealand and from Europe. And over the next month, we've got flights booked to go to Malaysia, the Philippines, Macau again, and Korea. So there are routes that are opening up, and we are jumping through the challenges that are put in front of us in terms of the movement of the professional flying grooms. But it is starting to open up. And Australia seems to be the area that gives us the most amount of grief rather than other countries that we're going to at the moment.
Are you just moving thoroughbred racehorses, Cameron?
No, we do a lot of thoroughbreds. Obviously, that's the largest part of the market, but we do quite a few sport horses. We do polo ponies, trotters, and even people with just individual pets that they want to move. They might be relocating from a country back to Australia or moving from Australia overseas and they want to take their beloved horse, we organise that as well.
Okay. So what do you think will be the situation regarding international movement of racehorses in the months ahead?
It's a difficult question to answer because the situation around COVID is changing daily and weekly. Each state in Australia is putting together their own rules and regulations. It's not federally controlled. So you have situations where the COVID increases in Victoria that we're seeing at the moment. You know, is the airport going to be closed down? Are inbound and outbound cargo flights going to be stopped from going to Victoria? These are all real possibilities. It may not happen, but it's a changing landscape, and we've just got to be in a position to adapt to each of these changes as quickly as possible. And I know that can be frustrating for owners when they have their heart set on a horse moving at a particular time or a particular date. But the reality is we're dealing with a very complex situation with COVID, and it does require a lot of adapting when the rules change.
And I understand you're in hotel quarantine yourself at the moment. How did that come about, Cameron?
Well, yeah, it's not a lot of fun. I took a plane load of horses to Macau on Monday, and the flight that we had coming back into Sydney, my home state, got cancelled, and then I had to jump on the next available flight back to Australia, which was into Adelaide. And again, because of the state-based processes, I've been sent to hotel quarantine. You know, I've applied for exemptions. I didn't actually enter a country. I stayed in transit all the way through. So I've only really been exposed to four pilots during the duration. But I'm back in Adelaide. They're working through an exemption process, and hopefully I'm out. I've had tests for COVID since I've been in quarantine, and they've come back negative. So I just have to follow the rules and stick to what the authorities are telling me. And, yeah, I can still work from here and do what I need to do.
What is it like in quarantine?
Look, I have to say it's pretty ordinary. I'm in a nice hotel. The food is very, very average. But probably the worst thing is you can't get outside. You can't open a window and get some fresh air. So you're sort of locked in a box. The police come around once or twice a day and just do a check that you're actually in the room. And nurses come around and just check on you, you know, take your temperature and just check that you're okay. And, yeah, they deliver three meals a day. They knock on your door and leave a brown paper bag at the door. And that's quarantine life at the moment. So it is what it is, but you get up and you do a routine and do some exercise and have some breakfast and do some work and then have a read. And so you've got to keep yourself busy and your mind active while you're in here. Otherwise, you just go mad.
Well, good luck with that, Cameron, and thanks for bringing us up to speed with some insights into the movement of horses in the air during this very bizarre time in the world.
Pleasure. No problem.
Interesting to hear from Cameron Croucher there. Warren, who knows the impact it will have on the spring carnival as far as the international movement of horses goes.
It's such an unknown, isn't it, Joe? And just great to get an insight just from a personal perspective into quarantine life, I suppose. And you know, we understand that that's a necessary situation with people moving around as they are at the moment and where they've been, etc. And fortunately, Cameron's able to perform that quarantine properly, but obviously it's not the most enjoyable thing to be isolated on your own there. And just, as he said, just the access to fresh air and other things that, although we're all under some form of restriction at the moment, but just the things that you do take for granted. And, gee, on a broader topic, Joe, you just wonder about the mental health effects on society in general for a range of people that are impacted by COVID in so many ways.
Well, the biggest challenge for all of us, it doesn't matter who you are, is the uncertainty around all of this. Life right now for most is very much a day-to-day proposition as far as what you can strategize and plan for your business, whatever that may be. And certainly for Victorians and people living in Melbourne with the lockdown, life is extremely restrictive at the moment, and there's no end in apparent sight at this stage. Will life ever return to the normality, if you like, that we enjoyed earlier this year? Who knows?
Exactly. And on track yesterday, fortunately, racing has continued on. We've touched on the amazing performance of Enable overseas at Ascot, and Viridine taking out the Bletchingley Stakes, and COVID playing its role there, I suppose, in that the Godolphin team, Joe, had to make a decision to transfer Viridine down here to Victoria, knowing that in the short term, he won't be going back to New South Wales.
No, he won't. And it was interesting to hear from James Cummings. They're so articulate, isn't he, talking about Viridine, which is a sort of very challenging horse to ride, but a masterful effort by Damien Oliver in the saddle to steer him to victory in the feature race yesterday at Caulfield, the Bletchingley. He's a five-year-old, a gelded son of Poet's Voice, Viridine, that is, and that win yesterday took his earnings to over $1 million. So he's been a great servant for the Blue Army, hasn't he? It was the fifth stakes win for Viridine to advance his record to now 8 wins, and those earnings of just over $1 million. A great ride by Damien Oliver yesterday, and Damien certainly tried to bring Mystery Shot stuck a bit later in the day, didn't he?
Yeah, great tactical ride. That was a it's an enthralling contest, and you love the way Ollie thinks his way through certain races, and obviously you know himself and Michael Rodd, two of our absolute elite jockeys, just a battle of wits as well as a battle of horsemanship and horse and an equine athlete in the last at Caulfield yesterday. It was terrific, and Mystery Shot's building a good record, Joe.
Certainly is. That's now five straight. And I think yesterday's performance, that whilst they tactically tried to bring him unstuck, proved that he is the real deal, albeit a horse that has recorded all of his wins in the off-season of racing. It will be most interesting now to see how he steps up to some bigger challenges in his career. And I wonder how many of those offers are still flowing through from Hong Kong for him, especially in the wake of yesterday's performance.
Yeah, well, I suppose if you say that everything's for sale at a price, I suppose the price just has to continue to go up, given that that he's continuing to win. Although you can argue he is more dominant at his win two starts ago, but I'm with you. I think there was a lot of merit in the way he found a way to win yesterday.
And one of the most impressive wins anywhere in Australia yesterday, Warren, I thought that came from the I'm Invincible filly Parlophone across in Adelaide, and she was heavily backed to a huge plunge on her to win the listed SAJC Lightning Stakes over 1,050 metres. And it brought up the first stake win for the stable for Jeff Eaton too, who I think was very much the key to the horse's winning performance yesterday. She's a great horsewoman, Jess, and that filly had proved at her last start pretty fractious coming out of the gates, putting on a buck-jumping display. And yesterday it was so important that she got that clean break, which she did. And that was thanks to the very good guidance of Jess Eaton.
I agree. And we're going to chat to Jess shortly, Joe, which will be terrific. And she's taken the initiative to base herself in South Australia, had to go through the self-isolation and quarantine to do so. But I agree, a horse that's bucked on more than one occasion. And then there was some wayward horses in the race inside her yesterday that probably first forced her wider on the home straight than ideally she would have had to go, and then whipped through the left hand in the home straight. There was plenty of Jess Eaton's horsemanship skills on display yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And as for the filly Parlophone, well, Jess herself said after the race she still did quite a bit wrong in the run, but it was a very strong performance all the same. She was retained to race by her breeders at Parlophone, and she's now got a very good record of two wins and prize money in excess of $100,000. That will continue to grow, no doubt, if she keeps her mind on the job. Parlophone is a sibling, Warren, to the Group 3 winner Sun City, and Group 2 placed Spin, being the fourth winner from four foals to race from the stakes winning Flying Spurmare Roulette. And her success is terrific news for Telamon Thoroughbred, to a standing Sun City this year. In his first season, Roulette has a yearling colt by Deep Fields that was sold at the Magic Millions this year for $800,000 to one of the best judges in the business, Alan Bell.
Yeah, that's a good price for a yearling, and obviously Parlophone's pedigree should continue to improve. And via RSN 927, Mick Kent Jr. had been trying to point the listeners towards Parlophone being a very good chance in the Lightning Stakes, and that money did come for her closer to the race. As you referenced, Joe, she was well backed on race day and well backed from when the markets went up. And I think she's always shown the stable talent, but when she does a few things wrong on race day, it's hard to be confident when you're putting your hard earned on. But she was terrific yesterday, looks to have a bright future.
And she's the 56th stakes winner for I Am Invincible, who stands at Yarraman Park at a reduced fee this year thanks to COVID, of still a princely $209,000.
Great to chat this morning, and I Am Invincible. What a career he has forged as a stallion. And next week, Joe, we'll be able to reflect on how the Magic Millions national sale has gone on the Gold Coast, albeit under bleak conditions and under a few restrictions and a delayed start. But really interesting to see how that sale unfolds this week.
And where the sunlight sets a new record.
You're taking the over or under 3 million, Joe?
Oh, gee whiz. I know many of our listeners would be speculating as well amongst themselves right now. I think she might reach 3 or just a tick over. There you go.
All right. Well, then I'll go slightly under, and at least we'll have a point of difference for next week.
All right. Interesting to see what happens. Look forward to talking to you then, Warren.
Joe McKinnon, Talking Horses. We'll be back with Ray Thomas after this.